I'm married to a woman who loves New Year's Eve. Now, she doesn't love it because she's a partier. She loves it for the moment after the new year begins, when we generally sit with good friends around our fireplace and talk about what our New Year's resolutions will be. Most of our closest friends by now know the drill and they come prepared. They know that no one gets away without coming up with some sort of resolution or another that they will have to report on about 1 year later, about how they did during the year. That's correct. You are held accountable by the psychotherapist for the resolution that you make. So be sure to report out. She did throw a wrinkle into the mix last New Year's Eve when she asked us to name how we would add sparkle to our year as opposed to a resolution that we would commit ourselves to. And I really liked that one because it helped us determine how we might bring more joy and lightness to our lives. And so we learn to keep up with our resolutions or our sparkles and track how we are doing. We all know that New Year's resolutions or sparkles are often the sort of thing that we keep track of early on, but as the year progresses, we tend, the memory grows more and more dim, shall we say, and we slowly cease the practice after a time. Well, hear this word from the Apostle Paul as you and I look once again at the coming of a new year, and imagine that we are a family sitting around our fireplace here at Heritage Fellowship, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to select just one of the words in this passage and seek to do all that you can, and I will do the same, to put that word into practice in our lives in the new year. To resolve to do it in order perhaps to add more sparkle to our lives. And so from Colossians 3, chapter 12, verses 12 through 17, therefore as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So let me review. Here are the words. You pick one if you choose. I will do the same. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and thankfulness. Perhaps I've missed one or two, but I think that sums it up pretty well. Before you make a choice, a word to the wise. I hope it's not too late. You can consider this the warning label on the box. Be careful what you choose. Life or God has a way of putting us in a position that forces us to work extra hard on the one that we pick. We've all picked patience before, haven't we? And we all have had it dramatically tested. So before you choose, let's take each of these qualities out of the box and explore them for a moment. And this way, we know a bit more about what we're getting into. So here's the first quality, compassion. It sounds like such a nice word, doesn't it? At its heart and root is the word passion. Passion. Now, don't confuse passion with the stuff of romance or perhaps with that thing you love most as a hobby. Some of us have a passion for travel or a passion for golf or a passion for cooking. Or we found ourselves at one point or another in our lives passionately in love. To use the word in this way is to not fully understand its meaning. You see, the word passion actually refers to the embrace of something or someone to such an extent that it causes you to suffer. Yeah, that's right. Now, Brent Nugent has actually played golf with me, so he knows that in golf, I suffer. In fact, I play so badly that I think Brent suffered as well when he played with me. My golf game, though, really causes embarrassment for me and not suffering. The things are different. Embarrassment's something I can get over. Suffering is not something that goes away so easily. So in theological terms, when we talk about the death of Jesus, we refer to it as the passion of Christ or the suffering of Christ. To have compassion for someone is to suffer with them. Compassion. To so identify with them and their struggles that we actually suffer with them. My friend Bob Browning, who pastored Smoke Rise Baptist Church in Atlanta, used to say that we are only as happy as our most unhappy child. Why? Because we have real compassion for our children. We suffer with them. So go ahead and pick compassion if you choose, and then be prepared for some level of suffering on your part for whomever it is that you have compassion for. Kindness. Now, there is a quality. This one does seem to take things up a level from compassion. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you, Paul says elsewhere in Ephesians. Kind means quite literally to be sympathetic and helpful to someone or something. We talk about being kind to animals. It seems less challenging somehow than compassion. And so I might elect to pick that one, except that kind has other meanings as well. And one from which I have picked this morning that might help us get some more clarity on it. You see, kind also means the same as in you and I are of the same kind. We are all human beings. And so being kind to one another carries with it the implication that I should treat others as I myself would want to be treated, because we're all of the same kind, creations of God who are given dignity and respect because of that reality. We are of the same kindness. And when you talk about it that way, then to treat each other with kindness is to treat other people as if they are of the same quality or substance as me. Our differences melt away. We don't treat the person at the drive-through window at Wendy's any differently than we treat our best friend or family. We all deserve dignity and respect. So think about kindness this way, and then if you're comfortable with that as a resolution, go for it. It's a good one, and the world would be a much better place if we put kindness into action. Humility. Oh, there's one I really don't want to unpack much. We all know what it means. It's the state of being humble, which is something far different from simply determining at one point or another that we will be humble, as if being humble is a coat that you can put on when you want to and take off when you don't. Humility is a state, a condition, a way of being. When you elect to put on humility, then you keep it on. We don't take it off. We acknowledge the fact that we aren't nearly as special as we think that we are. Like all people, we are in need of grace, both the grace of God and the grace of others, because we have been given more than we deserve. And keep in mind that humility is not feeling badly about myself or thinking that I am unworthy. To live in a state of humility is to constantly recognize that I have no right to lord it over anyone else, because I am no better or worse than them. So to be humble is to be free of arrogance and pride. I can be the same person if I'm humble, whether I'm in the presence of a rich person or a queen or a president, or in the presence of a homeless person or the guy who's pouring concrete for my driveway. To be humble is to be who I am without pretense. I don't need to add anything to me when I am humble. I am who I am regardless of who you are. This is true humility. Gentleness. Here's quite a word, the word gentle. It has so many different meanings. It can refer to a person of good manners, as in a gentle man or a gentle woman. Someone who knows how to behave in a way that shows good reason, as we say here in the South. It also refers to something soft and delicate, as in the gentle touch of her hand upon mine, or to the absence of harshness or meanness, as in he was gentle in his treatment of his horse. In my mind, then, to be gentle is to touch lightly upon whomever or whatever we might meet in the course of the coming year, to tread softly so as not to leave a mark. To be gentle is to leave the campground cleaner than you found it, to determine not to share the harsh words that have debilitating effects upon others. It is to be well-mannered in our treatment of others. It is to go gently through the year by embracing some sense of tranquility and calm in the midst of all that life brings. It's a worthy resolution that means that your footprint is light and not heavy in the lives of others and in the midst of God's creation. Patience. Here is literally what patience means: the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. This will not be my resolution for the coming year. I could never keep it, and am in awe of those who can. To be patient is to be quiet and steady. It's to keep your head while all about you are losing theirs. It's to stand bravely in the midst of the storm without being knocked around. You can't make patience your resolution and drive in Atlanta traffic. Patience used to be a proper name. I don't hear it much anymore. Perhaps it's still out there somewhere. Parents used to name their kid Patience. Now, I don't know why any person of any intellect would name their kid Patience. They could ensure that the child then would become what? Impatient. I would imagine that that would be the punishment for such parents. patients would become a little difficult to get along with. I did not name one of my children patients. We did name our son Douglas Andrew, and I can tell you this, children grow into their names. Douglas means dweller by the dark stream, and Andrew means manly, and he literally has become the manly dweller by the dark stream, living out every word of his name. In fact, here's what I would say to you before you ever choose one of these words as your resolution. Make it your name, at least your middle name, Rob Compassion Nash, or Rob Patience. Oh, that's an oxymoron. Or Rob Kindness Nash. That would be a good way to live into it. We forgot thankfulness or gratitude. I'm not sure that these are one and the same, but they go together. Thankfulness is the first step toward living life in a state of gratitude. It's sort of like a two-step ladder. In each act of kindness to me, I show my thankfulness. But I also must recognize that I probably should enter into a state of gratitude in which I recognize the ways in which compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience have been shown to me. You see, this is all a two-way street. I have been given much. Now I must recognize that all that I have received from those around me and express to them and to God my thankfulness for each gift. In fact, best to enter into a state of gratitude. I'm gifted each day in ways I don't always know by others who are showing me the traits that I hope to show them. And so perhaps gratitude is the most difficult of all. The first step, you see, is to at least know them when we see them. And by living in gratitude, we acknowledge that we at least recognize compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience when others give it to us. So what will it be? Which of these do you seek or do I seek in the new year? Will we suffer with others and exhibit compassion as best we can each day? Will we treat others with kindness as our own kind? Will we inhabit a state of humility, freeing ourselves of pride and arrogance? Will we seek to practice patience and have as small an imprint upon others and the creation in a negative way as possible by ensuring that we move gently through the world? Will we wait without losing our cool and becoming angry over what we cannot control? There is one more. Forgiveness. I can assure all of us of this one thing in the next year. Forgiveness is something that we will all receive if we are fortunate. Others will need to give it to us, as will God. And we will need to give it to others as well. Forgiveness is probably the only quality upon which all of the others depend. You can't have compassion without forgiveness, or kindness, humility, gentleness, or patience without it either. I suppose that is why it was God's second gift after life itself. God, the ultimate possessor of all of these qualities, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, quickly had to show us the way to forgiveness. With Adam and Eve, Cain, Abraham and Sarah, Moses, the children of Israel, on and on the forgiveness went, freely given, a gift from God. So one thing is for sure, no matter how much we keep or fail to keep the commitments that we make in the new year, forgiveness will play a significant role in our lives. We will all need to receive it from someone, and certainly from God. And our lives would possess a bit more sparkle if we found the grace to give it as well. Just as God has given it to us. So let us do our best with whatever that we resolve to do. Forgiving ourselves and others when we or they fail. Hear Paul's words once more, perhaps with different ears. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Through Christ. Amen.